Guys, welcome back to the We Love Life podcast. And hey, we got a special episode for you today. Hey, I want you to know what you're getting into because this is going to be an amazing episode. It was recorded at the Billy Graham Center at our 2024 Love Life Leaders Retreat. And we have got four very special people we want you to hear from that have really crucial roles with Love Life as a ministry. These people are city directors that volunteered their free time to come sit down and talk about their particular mission field. So pay attention as they come to the microphone. They're going to let you know their Love Life email address in case you live, or maybe your family lives, somewhere near one of these Love Life cities. Encourage you to listen, you know, get what you can from these people because they're people who have lived life on mission. They're so important to the Love Life family, to the mission that God has put us on. And what I would ask of you at a bare minimum, would you remember these four names? Would you put them on your prayer list? Now sit back, listen, and you're going to hear some really cool stories about how God has moved in people's lives and through that movement. So sit back and enjoy. Thank you.
Welcome to the We Love Life podcast. It's our mission to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that will result in an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. Thank you for joining us on this journey. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the We Love Life podcast. And hey, a quick disclaimer for you, listener. You may hear some background noise, maybe a light chuckle or two. And that's because we are at the Billy Graham Training Center in beautiful North Carolina. And we are in a back room that has been labeled or dubbed the green room.
Yep.
But the only thing green in here is the carpet and Brian's envy on my beard. That's yep, the only true. Thing green that's here. True. But technically speaking, listener, we are in the green room. There's a lot of people with us in here. So if you hear some background noise, you are welcome to write your hate mail to brian@lovelife.org yep. and express your concerns. But hey, we've got some special guests today, guys.
We sure do.
We've got some people that their story needs to be told because we're not going to live in the deep South Charlotte bubble. We know that there's listeners all over the country, possibly all over the world as the podcast gets traction. And we want you as the listener to know we got a lot of chapters spread all over the map.
Yeah.
And these chapters are led by some really insightful, intelligent, good at what they do type people.
Sure.
People that have been called by the Lord to
mostly
a specific seat.
At least.
Yeah, you know, at least.
At least three out of the four guests on today's show are mostly intelligent.
I will say this. I would feel confident that our first guest could pass a high school exit exam in Alabama.
Okay.
That ain't saying much, bro.
Yeah.
I will say that.
So let me set a little, just a little context. Again, we're at the Billy Graham Training Center here at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. And we're here because we have leaders from all over the nation, like you said, at our national retreat. And this is the time that we get poured into. We have Pastor Jay, who you guys know, if you've been listening to this podcast, or been following Love Life, drove a bike across the United States of America last year. Rode a bike across the United States last year. And so we have him here pouring into our leaders. And we wanted to take the opportunity, because we have leaders here from California and New York City and Pennsylvania, we want to take some opportunity while we have them all here in town to do some interviewing, just kind of pick their brains on some of the things that they've seen and get some encouragement, hopefully offer some encouragement to you guys and help you guys see the broadness of what the Lord has done and is doing through Love Life. So that's kind of the context.
Yeah. And normally, listener, you know, we shamelessly challenge you to leave us a 5-star rating. Still going to do it. Please leave us a 5-star rating. But I want to add an additional challenge. You may hear some people that are from an area of the country you didn't even know Love Life existed. You didn't know we had a chapter there. Maybe you live there. That's awesome if you do. We encourage you to reach out to these people. They will drop their email addresses as we introduce them. But also, maybe you got some kin folks. Maybe you got some friends from high school. Maybe you got an old neighbor that moved and you know they're a believer. You know they're passionate about the Lord. They're passionate about doing ministry work and advancing his kingdom. Get people plugged up with these Love Life leaders because every one of these chapters, they're successful chapters that have grown. They're still growing. And we want to get more volunteers. We want to get more active Christians in their faith involved in these chapters all across the country. So with that being said, let's introduce our very first one. He goes by many names. He is known by many people in many different areas of the country. We know him as Mr. Sean Thornburg. He's also known as The Stash.
Yep, Stash. That's true.
Shawnee T. I've heard him called that.
Okay. I think that's just his wife that calls him that.
Maybe that's just his wife, but he has many names. But he is Sean Thornburg. Spell your last name.
T-H-O-R-N-B-U-R-G.
And Sean is from beautiful, sunny Southern California. San Diego, to be correct, correct?
No.
No, I was not correct.
Wrong.
Wow.
Incorrect.
Just called me out like that.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Corona.
So in relation, let's assume people are like me and they're not very educated.
Right.
And they have a hard time. They have a hard time with maps. I know that is like Southern California, right?
That's
like,
right.
Like you're below Los Angeles.
Right. Yeah. So we're about an hour southeast of LA and about close to 2 hours north of San Diego.
Okay. So kind of in the middle.
Right in the middle. Yeah.
There you go. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us the highlights. How old are you? What industry did you come from? How did you get here? I mean, tell us of all the things that the Lord could have led you through. You ended up in this room with this motley crew of people.
Yeah.
Like how, are you asking yourself right now, how in the world did this happen?
Oh yeah. I ask myself that every day. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord in all his goodness just had me born and raised in Southern California. That's God's country. And we live in the best of all of the states in California. And if you've ever been to California, you know what I'm talking about. If you're raised in California, you know what I'm talking about. We also have the worst politics, which is why many of us are fleeing California. But yeah, a little bit about myself is I've been married to my beautiful wife, Jessica, for coming on 18 years.
Wow.
In October, it'll be 18 years. And we have four awesome kids. Got two teenage boys, 16 and 14, 10-year-old son, and the cherry on top, my favorite child out of all of them. My 4-year-old daughter. Everybody knows it's met her.
Brian knows about that, having a favorite kid.
I have a favorite child, but I can tell you I'm not his daughter's favorite person.
Yeah. No. Yeah, my daughter has.
I think she hates me the most.
She doesn't like other people.
And we learned really quickly that my daughter has the gift of discernment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And now we've tested it. We've tested it through the spirit, and we've confirmed that gifting.
Absolutely, yeah. So, which is why that my daughter just absolutely loves Daniel Parks.
Seriously, does she?
She does like me.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, seriously.
So, not to rub salt in the wound, but not only does she not like you, she loves Brian.
Well, I'm kind of like hurt right
Daniel.
Now.
Daniel.
Yeah.
I know what you meant. I'm hurt.
Sorry.
Let's move on.
I thought she hated everybody.
We can move on. Okay.
So Sean, first tell me, what did you do before you came to Love Life, and then kind of segue that into what do you do for Love Life? Like, where'd you come from? How'd you get here, and what do you do now?
I worked in the oil refining business in LA. Believe it or not, we do have oil refineries on the left coast. Worked at an oil refinery in the LA area for 10 years. Really enjoyed my job. I was kind of one of those kids that grew up and really didn't have any aspirations to do whatever. I just wanted to get married, have kids, and do a job that provided for my family. It didn't really matter too much what it was in my mind. I just wanted to make money for my family, and my whole idea was to, you know, just be a family man. Never really felt called to the ministry. Started volunteering with Love Life in 2021 while I was working my full-time job out in the LA area. And for people who aren't from that area, my commute from Corona to LA, especially like during the day, could easily go into 2 hours, 2.5 hours of a commute. So it was very taxing on just time away from family, working shift work and stuff like that. And then volunteering with Love Life. As that began to speed up and we found that the Lord had so much more in store for us than what we thought, because when we signed on to Love Life, it was just to pray in front of an abortion clinic for 1 hour a week. Like, it was very minimal. My yes was very minimal. And Lord, in all of his wisdom, knew that he had to kind of incrementally like bring this onto my radar, or else I would have ran away. Yeah, we felt the Lord calling us to go into full-time ministry, so I quit my job at the oil refinery on my, 10th year, a couple months right before my 10-year anniversary at the refinery, and went in full time for Love Life, and I'm now the acting regional director for Southern California.
And once again, for the people who aren't familiar with California, what as a ministry field, how do we define Southern California?
Right. So we're Southern California is essentially like Bakersfield down to, you know, the Mexico border, but we have mission fields in Southern California from Ventura, hour or so north of LA, down to Vista, which is right in the same area as San Diego.
So let me ask you this, man. What do you think, or maybe it's your favorite part, or maybe it's the part you feel the most called to? It could go different ways there, but like, what's the one thing about working for Love Life, about being full-time in the ministry, in this particular mission field that like just makes you know, like, man, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do?
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of different reasons, but honestly, feeling like we're at the tip of the spear. Honestly, you're fighting and advocating for God's children. And for me, everything has to do with truth based on the foundation of the Word of God. And like when I go and I'm talking to pastors and I'm, you know, speaking to Christians about why they should get involved, you know, I get to stand on the Word of God, on His authority about why we should be involved as Christians, that it goes beyond just voting every couple years or donating to a pregnancy center. It's like, man, we can have like an active, real involvement in this, and we can really make an impact in our community. And I think for a lot of ministries, I mean, sometimes you don't always get to see that impact. And for Love Life, it's like, man, it's as simple as going out there and praying, and you can literally watch a miracle happen right in front of you. So for me, that's huge selling point for me, for myself personally, as well as telling other people.
And for the people that are in Southern California, what areas of Southern California are your chapters the most active?
All over Southern California, honestly. Like,
so if someone's in San Diego, someone's in LA, someone's in between.
We got a spot for you.
Okay.
If you're listening, you live between Santa Barbara and San Diego, we got a spot for you on the wall.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
It's good. Big coverage.
So I want to plug something pretty cool. So yeah, things have grown in Southern California. In California, just as a state, things have grown exponentially. It's been amazing to watch the growth. I was able to be a part of that. Brian, of course, you were able to be a part of that as well. And you guys just expanded into Compton, started doing prayer walks in Compton, right? And so that's even getting closer to LA.
Yeah.
I think did they just do a prayer walk last week?
We're going to be doing a prayer walk in East LA coming up. Or there was a prayer walk in Compton too, as well.
Yeah.
We are taking ground in LA, man. The Lord is taking ground for His kingdom into LA, and we're taking it from the north, and we're coming from the south, we're coming from the east. But the Lord has plans, man. He's taking back LA. It's gonna be great.
That's awesome, man. Well, so before you cut out of here, two things. One, make sure everybody knows your email address, because it's not Sean, common spelling. Make sure they know your email address so they can reach out to you if they're in Southern California. And then what would be your final word of encouragement to say, like, let's say someone grabs this podcast, they stumble across it, someone sends it to them, however they may get it, and they live in your geo, right? Yeah. What would be your word of encouragement to them to get them involved in the fight to activate God's church, to save babies, to mobilize Christians? Like, what would that be to them?
Yeah, I'll try to keep that one brief. So the first is my email address. Is my first name is Sean, and it's spelled phonetically correct. It's spelled the way it sounds, S-H-O-N, that's Sean, at lovelife.org. And then the encouragement to people is the same thing that the Lord laid on my heart, is, man, I'm going to be held as accountable to what I did with what I knew in the time and place that God put me. Like, the Lord put me in this place, the Lord at this time where, you know, especially the abortion issue is massive, and it's not going away, and Christians can't hide from that anymore. And for me and so many other Christians, you know, putting our head in the sand or not doing anything or just giving monetarily, man, that's not enough. I don't think that's going to cut it. When you're at the Bema Seat of Christ, you know, it's like, what did you do? What did you do with the talents I gave you? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, you know, it's not going and being some kind of ninja all-star Christian, man. It's like going, Lord's answers for a lot of things is pretty simple, is go and be a light in the dark place. Go pray and intercede for these babies. Like, the Lord does the heavy lifting, but we need to go out in obedience to those places where Christ is needed most at these dark places, and these abortion clinics are the darkest place in our city. So,
yeah.
Come on out.
I want to just honor you, brother. I remember meeting you in early 2021, and it was an informational meeting at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and seeing you and your family sitting in the front row and just really feeling led by the Lord to come talk to you and invite you out to the 1 hour journey the next day, and seeing you guys go from that simple yes to that 1 hour journey to coming out to Charlotte to the boot camp. And then watching you go back to Southern California, and a lot of people don't know this as well, you've really utilized like social media chat groups and stuff to like mobilize hundreds of people in Southern California. And, you know, we had a map in our office where we were laying hands on the map, right? And just praying that God would light a fire in California as we looked at all the abortion centers. And we didn't know you at the time, and we didn't know Ron at the time. And to see y'all's obedience and to see what God's done, it's very encouraging. And I don't tell you that enough in person, but I just want to thank you for saying yes, walking out in faith. Your wife also is very active in this. Your children are active in this. And I think the Lord, when you said, I want to just be a family man, I think that's what he's doing. He's taking a family man and turning him into a saving families man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's beautiful.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. Well, Sean, we thank you for being on here, man.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to—
Love you, bro.
Pleasure to work with you, to labor with you. What I love about Sean is Sean is not scared to have fun. Sean knows when it's time to work, but he also knows when it's okay to let your mustache down and play a little
let
bit.
Let your mustache hair down?
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you for being on the podcast, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the second El Numero Dos. That's that second time I spoke Spanish on here. Man, Brian's rubbing off on me.
Yeah.
Brian's rubbing off on me.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Because he speaks that Espanol.
See.
But hey, we got our second, I don't want to say city director, because you're no longer a city director. You probably still serve some city director roles, but technically speaking, regional director. So get it right and put some respect on her name.
Yep.
We're talking to the lovely Miss Sophia Martin. How are you, Sophia?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here with y'all.
Yeah, and by the way, Sophia does speak Spanish.
Mm.
Poquito. Yes, you do.
Not really.
I've heard you speak it.
I guarantee you speak more Spanish little, than Brian little. And I.
Maybe when like life and death situations.
She yeah. does. She
it comes
it.
Back when
she's
I
calling
need
out
it.
For the preborn.
Yes. So Sophia, let's cut right to the chase. Where do you live?
Mm-hmm. Like address, zip code, everything.
Yeah, don't do that.
We also need your social security number. What is your geo, right? We know you're Northern mm-hmm. California.
Yes.
But let's assume people don't understand what that means, like me. And let's define what Northern California is. And then also, correct me if I'm wrong here, but aren't you going to help oversee what we're doing in Oregon and Washington State as well?
Yes.
So you're not, it would be unfair to say you're the Northern California director, because you're doing more than that. So what are we going to call her?
Northwest.
So she's Northwest Regional Director.
Northwest Regional Director. So yeah, just get, who are you? Where you live? What area do you work? Give us the details.
All right. Well, I live in El Cerrito, California, right in the heart of the Bay Area. Born and raised in California, Cali through and through. And I have several mission fields that I'm working with. We've launched out of Antioch, California. Currently, we're doing our prayer walk in Walnut Creek. And we have sidewalk outreach teams that are in Sacramento, San Francisco, San Jose, Stockton, Chico, and Concord. So that's the Northern California area. And like you said, we also have teams in Washington, Idaho, and Oregon that I'm working with as well.
That's awesome. That's a lot of coverage.
Slaying it.
That's a lot. Yeah, like...
So the Lord.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, but you'd be the one to know this. Is she covering the most actual clinics of anybody in the country?
So, I mean, I guess it would be a close tie between what she's covering and what they're covering in Southern California. Southern California mm-hmm. is covering. So, my last count was in California, Love Life is at 27 different abortion centers.
So, here's what we're trying to say politely, is if you live in California and you ain't about that life, you need to be, because we got 27 different spots.
Yeah.
And way more we need to be. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
Man.
I think there's about 170, close to 170 abortion clinics in California.
Mm, insane.
That's stronger than a garlic milkshake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's 1/5 of all the abortion centers in America.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
One state has 1/5.
I have to ask, since you live in the San Francisco area, the Bay Area, mm-hmm. have you ever been to the Full House?
I have, actually, with Daniel's wife, Courtney, my good friend.
We did a little excursion.
Can you go inside of it?
No, just on the outside. And there's actually two locations. You might not know about that. The Painted Ladies, that's in the intro of the show. And then actually the house, which is like 10 minutes from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then let me just, a little word of wisdom for you guys who are listening. Sophia knows this. When you're in San Francisco, you have to drive across the Golden Gate Bridge. And you have to play the Full House theme song.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like, they'll kick you out if you don't.
Yeah. We've done it twice already.
How's it going to happen to you? Come on. I won't sing it.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. You just go look it up. YouTube.
You're doing a good job.
We can listen to it afterwards.
Yeah.
So Sophia, tell us a little bit about your past. How did you end up here? Because I know you were already in ministry before you came to work for Love Life.
Yes.
So kind of give us the background. How do you end up here? And maybe tie that into more of what you do now as a regional director. We heard Sean answered a lot of what a city director does, because he's coming out of that role into regional director as well. But maybe if you could elaborate more from a regional standpoint, what does that look like for you?
Sure. So just want to start out with saying I myself am post-abortive. I had an abortion when I was 15 years old. Very uncertain time in my life. I wasn't saved. And I ended up being saved 7 years later. I went to church for a long time. Nobody was talking about the issue of abortion from the pulpit. So I just had these wounds that were deep inside of me. But I did start serving in ministry. I began serving with children and then moved outside of the walls of church to inner city youth, did a lot of evangelism, street preaching, passing out tracts, just a hodgepodge of things, serving the homeless. And eventually a pastor came to this home church that I was going to, and it was a shared speaking ministry, and he began preaching about abortion in a way that I had never heard before. And at first I welcomed it. I would have said I was pro-life at the time, but I wasn't doing anything about my convictions. I certainly didn't feel like I could share with anyone to not have an abortion, because I had one in my past. And so after months of this pastor preaching, at a corporate prayer service, he was talking about, it's time for Christians to get off of the bench and to rush the field. There's giants that need to come down in our day. And the first giant I want to talk about is Planned Parenthood. And so when it came time to corporate prayer, I buried my face in the carpet and I began to weep. And I felt like God was ripping off the scab of my heart, saying, it's time to heal now. And I just began confessing corporately before people who didn't know about my past that I had had an abortion. And I asked the Lord, Lord, if you want to use me, I say yes, but I don't know what to do. This was in 2016. Oddly enough, it was the same year that Love Life was birthed. And I just, after that night, I began to pray. I had a bold prayer that night, and I asked God to begin to defund Planned Parenthood. And within 1 month, I got a postcard in the mail that said, due to defunding, 2 Planned Parenthoods in your county are being shut down. And I began to weep. And I was like, right there in that moment, I knew that God was hearing my prayer and that he was answering. And so that encouraged me. I began following every pro-life organization that I knew about at the time. I began educating myself, thinking, like trying to answer the great questions, the great areas, and wanting to be able to give a defense for what I believed. Fast forward 4 years later, I started Sidewalk Counseling in Fresno, California. And I, talked to Daniel. We ended up on a Zoom call, and I began to pray about coming to boot camp. And I wanted to give a greater commitment to the Lord, but I felt like he was telling me no at the time. And so I often share it was like a hard no for me. I cried some tears behind that. But anyhow, I just surrendered it. I, I figured I'll just be a sidewalk counselor for however the long the Lord wants me to do that. 2 months later, I met Brian and Justin in Arizona. Is that where we were?
Yeah. USA.
Yeah. And my son was with me. And Justin got up. He started sharing about the mission and vision of Love Life. And my son was like, I want to give my life to this.
Wow.
And so he was asking, can I go? Can I go to boot camp by myself? And I'm like, you can go, but I'm not, because the Lord told me no. And so finally, at the end of our time, Justin said, you can go, but your mom is going to need to go with you. And so I...
The holy setup.
Yeah, yeah. I had to go back to prayer.
Chaperone.
Yeah, exactly. I had to go back to prayer, back to the Lord. And I believe he met me and he told me that this was what his plan was for me to come to boot camp. Mm-hmm. So my son and I went. We were very encouraged by what we learned. We came back with a stack of brochures, a Hope is Here t-shirt, no money, no church backing, but a conviction that babies were dying on our watch and we were going to give our lives to that. And now it's grown to what it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, what are you going to say to your son, Mom, I want to give my life to the Lord and save babies? Like, no, we can't go there.
Yeah. No, we're busy, like, on Thursday.
Yeah, it's like, you can't say no to that. It was a holy setup.
Watching Full House reruns or something.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I've never heard how you got here testimony before. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool to hear. So there's a word that's come up twice now. And just for the sake of never wanting to assume the listener knows what we talk about, mm-hmm. would you describe what boot camp is? Sure. And like, was there something in boot camp that hit you the hardest?
Yeah, so boot camp is our term for training new leaders that are either going to serve in an existing Love Life city or who have been ID'd as a leader to start a new Love Life city. And I would say, you know, I've served in ministry for a long time. I have a lot of wonderful friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. But coming in and being immersed in the Love Life family, the hospitality that was shown, the immediate acceptance and true, genuine love, coupled with just the Bible and prayer and just serious Christianity, real Christianity, was what like set the tone. That was what was different for me.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. You guys got any questions for?
Yeah, I just want to let our listeners know, and thank you, Sophia, for sharing all that. The boot camp training is a great entry point. It's kind of like a immersion into the Love Life culture and the strategy. Mm-hmm. The two main things we teach is how to engage churches about this issue and how to engage board-of-minded moms and dads at abortion centers. So depending on when this episode comes out, we do have a boot camp coming up in July in the Denver area, and then in October in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you guys are interested in learning anything about that, please feel free to reach out to us, and maybe you can be like Sophia one day.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So Sophia, as you depart, all right, from this episode, and you go on your beautiful hike up the mountain here with our sister Sarah, because we know that's what you're doing.
Lord,
give us like one last word of encouragement that you would want the listener to hear, and maybe speak to the people who are in the Northwest that sure. maybe they feel stirred by this. Encourage them to reach out to you. Give them your email address. Make sure they have a way to get in touch with you, and let them know maybe where we are in Washington, where we are in Idaho. Where we are in Oregon. You've already named the places in Northern California, but just really give that final charge of let's be about our Father's business.
Sure. So first off, my email is Sophia, that's Sophia, @lovelife.org. And the other cities that we are serving in Washington, we have Whatcom County, which is in Bellingham. And we have some teams that are serving in the Olympia, Tacoma area. And also, too, if you could keep us in prayer, we're hoping that a city director will be raised up in the Seattle area. And so those are the three main areas to get plugged in Washington. In Idaho, they are now serving in Ontario. It's right across the border in Oregon. So if you're in the Boise, Idaho area or Ontario, Oregon, we'd love to get you plugged in. Please email me. You can also go to our website, lovelife.org, and click the Connect tab and get connected to any area of our ministries with Love Life. The one thing that I would encourage you with is sometimes as Christians, we might ask ourselves, am I really called to this? Does God really want me to be a part of what we would think would be pro-life ministry? Oftentimes in Love Life, we say this isn't pro-life ministry. This is Christianity 101. And that's because God has already given us his commands in scripture. We read Proverbs 24 and 31, it tells us, it commands us to be a voice for the voiceless, to rescue those who are being led to the slaughter. We read in Matthew, the Great Commission, that we're to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we're doing in Love Life. So we don't have to wonder, are we called to do this? God's already told us in his word, your part isn't my part and my part isn't your part. But if you give your yes to God, there is somewhere for you to serve in this ministry.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. That's good.
That's awesome. Sophia, thank you for your time. Well, I know we cut into your hiking time. We appreciate that. And just want to give that final encouragement. If you're in that Northern California, all the way up to Washington State, over to Idaho, I mean, there's some solid brothers and sisters in the mission field there, and they could use your help. We are asking you. We're making the God ask out of you right now. Mm-hmm. Reach out to Sophia. Help her out. Thank you for being here, Sophia.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
And listener, next up, we have a treat for you. We have somebody coming to you from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The Lank.
Hey, with my redneck accent, I was corrected quickly.
I'm sure.
While I was there.
Multiple times.
That it's not Lancaster. That it do not say it that way, because you are telling on yourself that you do not belong there if you ever find yourself in central Pennsylvania.
I'm sure that wasn't the only giveaway for you.
Yeah, right.
You know, I kept asking for sweet tea and biscuits, and everybody looked at me funny.
So hold on, we got to qualify. We're like, she's not in central Pennsylvania right now. She's in the beautiful mountains of North Carolina
NC, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but
she's still in the green room.
But she's from Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Now that everyone's totally confused.
Yeah. Hopefully we can.
Okay. She lives. She permanently resides in Lancaster, but she's temporarily at the Cove with us.
Yeah.
Yes. Follow the space-time continuum for more tips from your team at Love Life.
Amen.
So, no, we have one of my favorite people, Miss Sarah Ternowski. And look, Sarah spells her name with an H, not to be confused with the other Sarah who does not use the H. Mm-hmm. So they are in my phone as H and no H, so okay. I do not get them confused. But no, Sarah is our city director for Central Pennsylvania, who I get the pleasure of being her regional shepherd, who Brian used to be her regional shepherd.
Yep.
So this is somebody who is near and dear to our hearts. She is good at just about everything she does. And she introduced me to the fabulous world of the theater. The theater. She took
I'm sure you fit in there.
Yeah, I definitely stuck out like a sore thumb at the theater. But
About Sight and Sound?
Sight and Sound, yeah.
You stuck out there?
Yes.
Dude, where do you go to Broadway? No. I took Daniel to Broadway.
Oh, no.
We watched Aladdin on Broadway.
I don't think they'd let me in. Yeah. Even if I had the ticket, they would just look at me like, nah, buddy, you're not getting in.
You probably don't want to get in, to be honest.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
But
MJ was excellent.
Hey, I actually was super impressed with Sight and Sound. That was a fun experience.
Epic. Moses?
Yes.
Come on.
It was a good time. So, Sarah, now that I've robbed you of all the glory of introducing yourself, and I kind of did it for you, let the listener know who you are, what cities kind of fall under your leadership, and just, you know, give us the skinny, like where are you from? Because you've had a heck of a traveling life. Mm-hmm. You've lived in a lot of places. So just lay it all out. Get it all off your chest. Think of this like a therapy session. Okay. And let us know, how did you end up here?
Okay. Yes. My name is Sarah with an H, Ternowski. And I currently reside, like you said, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. But I'm from New York City originally and lived in New York until about beginning of 2020 and ended up in Lancaster County at the end of 2020. did missions growing up overseas, so we lived overseas a handful of times, but New York City was always home base. Nothing like Lancaster, but very grateful to be in the location we're in now. This is the third city I've worked with Love Life in. I started with the ministry in 2019 in New York, who you'll be hearing from shortly more about that location, but I started there doing sidewalk counseling, and it's been quite a journey since then. My friend and I started going to the Planned Parenthood in Manhattan on our own, and through a series of events got connected with Justin Reeder, the founder of Love Life, and ended up being trained by their staff and ministry on how to do sidewalk counseling, engaging churches, etc. Then I landed in Israel, helped Love Life over there just a little bit for about 6 months, connect with ministries and pastors. We did some street work and, yeah, really just made the conversation of abortion, brought it more to the social level that it's really not in Israel, barely talked about in politics either. And so we worked with a few other ministries, just collaborating with them on some outreaches and stuff like that. And then landed in Lancaster when I got back to the States. And I've been overseeing our chapter there since about the summer of 2021. So this is our third year doing prayer walks. And I specifically oversee an area called York, Y-O-R-K. York is right next to Lancaster. There's a Planned Parenthood there. It's one of the busiest in the state. They have some of the highest abortion rates there. And then right over the river, right over the Susquehanna, is Lancaster. And so I oversee mainly those two. I've been doing Harrisburg as well. I'm still technically overseeing that, but we, thank God, have another worker that we just recently brought on board that is focusing specifically on Harrisburg and our church engagement and sidewalk outreach there. So
you can't bring up something as big as, oh, yeah, and I got called by God on a mission trip to Israel, and I moved over there and brought up a topic they're not even used to talking about, and you kind of just flew by that like you were getting the mail. So I have questions, Sarah. Mm-hmm. So when you say it's different there as far as, like, it's not talked about politically, it's mm-hmm. really not talked about culturally, can you go into a little bit of that? And then if you remember, and maybe laws have changed since you left, mm-hmm. but what are there abortion laws like, mm-hmm. you know, the murder of any baby is not okay. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 days old, 8 week ban, 15 week ban, you know, all of it is evil and it's mm-hmm. wrong in the eyes of God, and none of it should happen. So I'm not in saying that there should be laws for this or that. I'm not saying that at all. There should be one law and it should say there is no abortion because mm-hmm. it is murder. Mm-hmm. But what were their laws? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Israel has some of the most liberal abortion laws in the world. There's essentially no restrictions on abortion. It's legal up until birth. Technically, if you're abiding by the law, a woman has to go in front of a pregnancy termination committee is what they call it. And it's usually consists of, I believe, a gynecologist, a doctor, and a social worker, something like that. And they have to have their case approved. I think it's about 98% of cases are approved. So it's very rare that a woman would be denied the abortion. So if she does it legally, she goes before that committee and presents her case and is able to receive an abortion after that. Military service is mandatory in Israel following high school for men and women. Men, I think it's usually about 3 years, women about 2 years, and the government pays for at least the first two abortions of any soldier in the military. And if you don't abort, you're discharged from the army. It's a very honor and shame culture in the Middle East. And so abortion is just not really talked about socially, meaning you don't have what you have here. You don't even actually have abortion clinics. It's mostly done in big hospitals, which makes that kind of outreach a lot more complicated and hard to navigate. And then politically, you don't have, at least, you know, in the States, we usually have at least some more pro-life politicians, some more pro-abortion politicians. You don't really have that in Israel either. And so laws are a lot harder to get past there. Conversation is a lot harder to get going. But when we did do outreach in Jerusalem, for example, on the busiest street there, we would get a lot of people that were very happy with what we were doing, especially the more religious people, because they never would see something like that with signs and stuff like that, just talking about the beating heart of that unborn baby and the life of that unborn child. A lot of the more religious Jews are against it. Wouldn't say the whole community, but a lot of them are. And so they were really actually grateful and surprised to see people that were talking about it. But yeah, very liberal laws. They estimate about 40 to 50,000 abortions annually in Israel. And I believe the population is still around 9 million. So it's wow. more per capita, from what I remember Justin Reer telling me, more per capita than North Carolina.
Wow. I did not realize that. Mm. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that kind of brought you – we know where you've been, right? Mm-hmm. You walked through that. But other than the obvious of, I knew you were brought up in a Christian home with a mom who took her faith seriously. Mm-hmm. She took mission seriously. I know your mom. I've got to actually work a sidewalk with your mom before. Great lady of God. I know she's not scared to street preach. She's not scared to share the gospel. So I know that kind of stuff was put in you as a child by the example of a godly woman. But is there anything when you think back, is there like a particular moment or thing that like makes you say, you know what, not only do I care about this, but I'd give my life for it?
Yeah, wow. Well, what happened in New York City in 2019 in January was a 9-month abortion bill was passed in New York, basically, if I understand it correctly, legalized abortion for any reason up until birth. And that was a big eye-opener for me and I think for many others. I never really been exposed to pro-life ministry prior to that, except when I was in high school. My mom shared a bit more of her testimony that she was post-abortive twice for many years prior. And so I knew morally it was wrong. I knew how much it affected her. I knew how it was affecting other women, but I didn't know any numbers, didn't know where it was happening, didn't know how it was happening. And then when this bill was passed in 2019, which was quite a few years later, my friend and I both were shaken to what we were hearing, what we were seeing. I just remember being like shocked that not only was my city where I was born and raised passing this bill, but they had reached the point of celebrating what they were doing. The One World Trade Center was lit up pink when that bill was passed, and there was just a celebration in New York. Of course, the world makes many excuses for what they are doing, but I knew it was wrong. Obviously, I knew it was evil, and I knew we had crossed a line with that bill. And so following that, I actually went to an event up in Albany, New York, and it was quite a long drive up there from the city. My friend and I went in, I think that was February, so a few weeks later, and it was just a three-hour service of prayer and repentance where they had pastors come on stage and just repent for never having preached on abortion in their churches. They had women who had chosen life or given their babies up for adoption, all these different incredible stories and ministries represented, and Justin Reeder comes out and talks for about 5 minutes at that event, and that's where I heard the name Love Life. But heard him say at that event that the day before he had gone to the largest Planned Parenthood in New York and he had walked around and just prayed. And so that inspired me. And I looked at my friend and I said, let's go do what he did every Friday when I get off of work. And that's how we started doing it. And I guess, I don't know, I'm kind of wired that I knew that day that the Lord was calling me more than to just have a 3-hour, maybe emotional experience of I was crying like the whole time. It affected me. But I knew, man, I could just go home and kind of ignore this, or I can really do something about it. And I think what also blew me away was the simplicity of the call. I didn't need to fundraise a bunch of money. I didn't need to get on a plane to go anywhere. I literally needed to take a short train ride from my job to go there. And I think that's what like really attracted me to it. Yeah. I'm like, we overcomplicate ministry and mission so much when there's this desperate mission field in my backyard. And the fact that I could like stand there on the street and actually have an effect on women and their children really just like blew my mind. I don't know how else to say it, except God was like, you're equipped to do this and I'm calling you to do it. And I think it's a call to the entire church in some capacity to be involved. Again, I think knowing my mom's story, she was involved in pro-life rescue work in the 80s and the 90s. And so she had really gotten into that. And then it had, you know, that had tapered off. And so she had stepped back from it. But now the Lord's called her back into it, and she comes out with us a lot. So I think, I think just seeing the evil that we had reached in New York, hearing the call, hearing the simplicity of it, and then getting involved and seeing all the moms that we saw choose life and just the employees we got to speak to, people we got to pray for. Yeah, it just kept me going.
That's awesome. You guys have anything you want to ask?
I just want to encourage you. I mean, I don't know if you're technically one of or the first official Love Life Sidewalk missionaries. This is before we partnered officially with Cities for Life, but Sarah, Natalie, Ashley, Anastasia, they were kind of the first crop of missionaries, maybe some others. I didn't mention their name. But just your faithfulness to persevere from New York City to Israel, now Pennsylvania. And now, you know, it's kind of like a father. I've kind of had a little bit of either a father or like a weird older brother role. We haven't figured out quite a father. But just to see you just celebrated 1-year anniversary about a month ago with your husband who's in the room, Josh. Mm-hmm. And one thing I love about your story, whether it was your mom who is influencing you, but now seeing your husband who's now partnering alongside of you, and even Sean talking about his kids, Sophia and her family, like this is a family ministry. Obviously, you know, you're the one doing the interview, but I just want to highlight the fact that this goes beyond you. It's your mother, it's your husband now, and all of us share in that same thing. Our families are all involved.
Yeah.
So just to the listener out there is like, man, this is a ministry that your family should be involved in. We've all brought our families out there. and just encouraged to hear your mom's influence, which has led now to babies being saved, churches getting activated in Pennsylvania and beyond. So just want to encourage you and tell you I love you. Yeah,
so I'll make a statement here. You guys are listening, so you can't see, but Sarah is actually carrying a child. She's with child.
Yes.
And so I expect whenever this baby is born, that this baby is going to be strapped to her chest.
Yes.
In one of those little, what are they? Those
Bjorn. The Bjorn baby carriers.
Yeah, the baby carrier.
That's actually
and
the one
the
I
baby's
have.
Actually going to be saving babies.
Are you
too.
Saying she Amen. Doesn't get any time off? Is that what you're saying? Like,
well, no, I'm not saying that.
We'll give you a week.
Oh, yeah. You a week.
I'm saying she'll get a couple of days off after she has the baby. But you're actually probably not going to be able to stop her from going out there. I mean, maybe. Hey, listen. Yeah.
Whatever I don't plan
the,
on stopping.
Whatever the Lord
probably
does.
Some adjustments will happen. But
Yeah. I mean, I can see Josh stopping. With the baby carrier yes. on his chest. You know, real men carry babies on their chest.
That's right. So. And definitely shout out Josh.
Yes.
Josh is not being interviewed right now, but he's in the room with us. And
yes.
Josh has been a pivotal part yes. of the Pennsylvania chapter growing the way it has. Mm-hmm. He is definitely one of those husbands that he's down for the fight. He'll do whatever, whenever. And I know for you, Sarah, that's got to make it a little bit easier on
yes.
you knowing
oh
that your husband's got your back.
Yeah.
So as we're running out of time, real quick, give them your email address. Remind them where, like what counties in Pennsylvania that someone might live in that would be easy for them to reach out and get plugged in for you.
Yeah. So my email, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, @lovelife.org. County specifically, anywhere in Lancaster County. If anyone's familiar with that area, the Planned Parenthood is on the outskirts of the city, Lancaster City. But anyone in the county would love to connect with. And same for York County. Anyone in York County would love to connect with. And in Harrisburg, which is technically Dauphin County. But if you're anywhere near Harrisburg, near the Capitol, we'd love to connect with you, get you plugged in, whether that's on the sidewalk team or mentoring moms or coming to a prayer walks, getting your church involved. Always looking for more churches to partner with and reach out to. So, yeah.
Man, thank you so much for your time, Sarah.
Thank you.
Yes.
It was a good
thank
interview.
Great.
It was a good interview.
Good stuff.
And we got another one coming up for you. That'll
yes,
be a
do.
Good interview.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Bye. And we are now bringing you, we saved the best for last. We're bringing you that heavy hitter. We're bringing you the one. I'm going to be very serious with you, listener, for a moment here. If the Lord told me, Bo, you've got to go do this thing that you're probably going to die, but I need you to go do it. This lady to my right is who I'd want praying for me.
Okay.
The most powerful praying I think I've ever heard in my life. And not just a one-off, like, wow, she must have been feeling it that day. But time and time and time again, we have the lovely, the respected, the well-known, the well-connected Miss Lisa Washington from New York City.
New York City.
New Welcome. York City. The city's so nice they named it twice.
That's what
yeah.
oh, like
she shout out to Roy Roy.
Yes. Hey, we have got our city director for New York City, but not just New York City, because by the time this thing comes out, this particular episode, hopefully we're like, we should be in full swing for Long Island as well, shouldn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
When is that? Their first official prayer walk is?
May 4th.
May 4th. Tell us, give us a quick, like I know you have a powerful testimony. Give us the abbreviated version of your testimony for the sake of time, because we also want to leave some time to ask you some questions about New York. But let people know kind of where you come from and how you end up here.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me. I am born and raised in New York City, in Manhattan specifically. So I'm a native New Yorker through and through, not raised in a Christian home, but like a lot of Blacks, basically raised with some cultural Christianity. And so I always had a basic belief in God. I went to Sunday school for 1 year of my life and had parents that did their best to talk to me about the things of God. But like any young girl who doesn't really know who she is in Christ, I got into a lot of brokenness at a very young age, a lot of promiscuity, a lot of delinquency. I mean, you basically name it, and I was basically doing it. But one of God's amazing saving graces to me is that one of my sisters, who's 8 years older, she was basically like the great spiritual influence in my family. She got radically, radically born again And she started praying for me when I was a very wayward teenage girl. And she prayed 9 years. And she invited me to Times Square Church, which is a church that was founded by David Wilkerson. And on my second visit there, I had a life-altering encounter with Jesus Christ, never ever to be the same. And I've been living for the Lord by his grace ever since.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God. And hey, if you've never been there and you get the chance to go inside Times Square Church, if you're ever in New York, and they don't leave the front door just wide open, but if you can work it out where you can go in there, one of the most beautiful church buildings you'll ever go into in your entire life.
Yeah,
that's right.
So Lisa, tell us, how do you end up with Love Life?
Well, a part of my testimony is, like Sophia shared earlier, like Sarah just mentioned about her mom, I also have abortion in my past. And I have not only abortion in my past, but abortion shaped my life on the front side of the issue, in that I'm the youngest of 9 children and born into a very complex marriage. And my mom, not to be cruel, not to be cold, but just sharing her experience as a woman and some of the heartache that she went through in her marriage to my dad, she did confess to me that if abortion had been readily available to her at the time that she discovered she was pregnant with me, she would have probably opted to have had an abortion. And so I'm really grateful at that time that I had the law on my side. And even beyond the law, I had a father that really loved life and he loved children. And just kind of knowing this was my beginning, it caused a lot of insecurity. And then unfortunately, in that insecurity, as I mentioned, as a promiscuous teenage girl, I found myself pregnant, not knowing what to do. I had actually at that point had a pretty strong pro-life view, if you will, knowing again that my life was spared from abortion. It wasn't something that I believed in, but I didn't feel like at the time that I was ready to have a child, ready to parent. And I had a lot of friends that had multiple abortions. They made it seem like it was not that big of a deal. And so I, unfortunately, under the influence of my friends, and beyond my friends, it was really the depravity of my own heart. Mm. I had the abortion and I was 4.5 months pregnant. I had an abortion over a 48-hour period, and it really marked me in ways that I don't have time to really fully get into, but I was sick from my abortion as a result. And again, when I came to faith in Jesus as a young adult, how I got radically, radically set free and healed was through prayer. It was the prayers of my sister. It was other women that my sister was connected to that prayed for me. And I'm not even exaggerating. Jesus met me in such an unbelievable, supernatural, miraculous way. And he started to break all of the residue and all of the chains of abortion, including healing me, because I was physically sick from my abortion for many years and I had no idea why, but it was all connected to my abortion. And once I started to really live for God, I'd said to the Lord, if you ever, ever want to use me for any area, I would love to be fully given to ministry, to youth and young adults, and also to abortion, because I know firsthand the impact that abortion had on me as a young adult woman. And most abortions are had in this country by young adult women between the ages of 20 to 24, about 85% are. And I wanted to always be given to this issue. And so sure enough, in 2019, as Sarah mentioned, once the reproductive health bill was introduced, Justin Reeder came to Times Square Church. He gave a presentation about Love Life. I was able to be in on that second meeting because I had shared my testimony there many times. And immediately I knew that it was like listening to a kindred spirit. It was like realizing that I was literally born for an issue like this. And from that day, God gave me opportunities to volunteer with Love Life. And then 3 months later, I quit my job and I signed up to be part of the Catalyst team introducing Love Life to New York City. And I've been doing it for the last 5 years.
That's awesome. And Lisa does a great job in what I would argue is the hardest city in the country to do pro-life ministry. There's
100%.
There's not, you know, it's not like going to Tennessee or Alabama or the anywhere Carolinas else, where there's a church on every street corner. There's people at a bare minimum, they're raised culturally Christian, where they're smart enough to know, like, I better at least pretend, like, for the cultural benefits of it, where in New York, it's not like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a bunch of churches. And then the churches they have, most of them, unfortunately, are not super healthy. They're not very bold. Now, praise God for the ones who are, but those churches are few and far between. Yeah. So It's really rough soil that Lisa has to till every day. And she gets up and she does it. She does it with a smile on her face. She gets up and she tries to please her king day after day after day. And I applaud you for that, Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's an honor, truly an honor of my lifetime. Jesus went all the way to the cross for me. And so it's the least that I can do is to serve him in this capacity. I count it truly as an opportunity and an honor of a lifetime.
Well, guys, tell me, do you have any specific New York questions? Because we'll get into geography, kind of where we are in the city, how people end up, we'll get into some of that. But as far as like what you think the listener would want to know or hear about New York.
Well, I had the privilege to oversee Lisa for a couple of years. And just to highlight and encourage the listener again, this is a woman of God marked by perseverance. I mean, the perseverance you had day in and day out, it's like a model to the rest of us. And you said it beautifully. Jesus went all the way for you. So, right, the hymn writer says Jesus paid it all to him we owe. So I encourage you just to keep in that. And also, I'm also encouraged that even though it's a very dark, dark city, that the light shines the brightest in the dark. And there are several churches. I think about Pastor Andy at Providence Baptist. You want to shout out any churches that have been faithful, that have stood with you over the test of time? Because oftentimes, like the rest of us look at New York like, oh, it's so far gone. I've heard people say, God's not at New York. And I'm like, shoot, yeah, he is. I know God's people up there are active. Is there anyone that you just want to highlight?
Absolutely, especially in Manhattan, where the team serves primarily. I want to shout out Abounding Grace Ministries. That's Pastor Rick Del Rio and his son, Pastor Jonathan. They're new partnering pastors with Love Life, but they have become like family to me. They're some of my biggest, hugest encouragers and supporters. I definitely have to shout out one of my dearest, dearest friends through Love Life, Pastor Kevin Bateman. He was serving in Queens, but now he's in like the northern portion of Long Island. He's at Bethel God of Assembly. I also want to shout out the Talones. That's Pastor Mike and Cindy Talone and the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yeah.
They pastor New Song Church in Co-op City. They've been with Love Life since 2019. And I also just really want to shout out Pastor Jason Murphy. He's in White Plains. White Plains is a community that's north of the Bronx, so it's technically not New York City. But Pastor Jason Murphy has been with Love Life from the very beginning, and I was just able to do a launch at his church last week. He allowed me to speak at all three services. They had the most signups since 2019, close to 100 people. And I'm really, truly grateful. It's like you said, there are not a lot of pastors that are willing in New York City to be about this, but there are some. And God has given me amazing friendships. He's given me an amazing sense of family. And I'm just so blessed to get to know these pastors.
Praise God for that. Actually, 2019, I got asked to go to New York and go to Pastor Jason's church at Reach. And I think that's when God called me into this ministry full time, was through that experience. But can you tell us a little bit, because the Prayer Rock situation is very different in every city, mm-hmm. but there's a church, a Ukrainian church that's in the middle of like the village or East, like I don't know the whole
Cooper Square.
Village, yeah, yes. Cooper Square. It's like, it's where like, you know, the birthplace of homosexuality and all these crazy things. But there's a church been standing firm that's allowed you to meet there. Can you shout them out too?
Yes, actually shout out to Cornerstone Chapel. That's their official name. It's the First Ukrainian Church down in the East Village, 59 Cooper Square. Shout out to Pastor Ivan and his lovely wife Irina, who has graciously allowed me to meet there every single week. They ended up also just like providing storage for us. And they you know, let us have that space basically for like nothing. And they have been with us from the very, very beginning. And we get to host our prayer walks there every single Saturday. I get to also have fellowships, luncheons. They've been such a tremendous, tremendous blessing and a support. And that's where we meet every single Saturday for our prayer walks.
And your prayer walk actually goes to the largest Planned Parenthood in New York City.
Yes.
Formerly known as the Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood, right? But they just recently took the name off or something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, they took the name down in 2020 at the height of all of the racial tension in the city. And it's called now Planned Parenthood Manhattan, formerly known as the Margaret Sanger Center.
So Lisa, before we run out of time, anybody that's living, like, I don't care if your address says New York City on it. All right, if they're living within an hour of New York City, they need to be reaching out to you.
Absolutely.
Long Island, they need to be reaching out to you.
Yes.
How do they reach out to you?
My email is Lisa, that's LISA @lovelife.org. And like Bo just said, if you are in any of the five boroughs, especially if you're in Manhattan, if you are in Queens, because we're looking to launch a team out there in the summer, and if you are in Long Island, please, please contact us, because we really do see God raising up the church in Long Island. There are a lot of believers out there that have already been standing for life. They just need to be united. They need to be mobilized. And we see God already beginning to stir the waters out there. I want to shout out actually to Smithtown Gospel Tabernacle, who's been hosting us.
Pastor Mike.
Yes, Pastor Mike Talone and, Pastor Mike and Cindy Fiore.
Cindy Fiore.
I want to shout out to Smithtown Gospel Tabernacle because we are hosting our kickoff 2024 prayer walk there on May 4th. And if you are in Long Island, please contact me because you want to be a part of what God is doing out on Long Island.
Well, hey, listener, thank you so much for listening to these interviews. These are some of the key players. These are people that are boots on the ground making it happen for Love Life and really bigger than Love Life. It's people who've been faithful to put their yes on the table and do hard things for the kingdom of God. We appreciate you. We hope these interviews encourage you. They blessed you. And if you live in any of these areas, ask yourself the hard question, why am I not doing something? And if you don't live in these areas, but you know people who do, if you've got cousins and kin folks that live anywhere we've talked about today, or just go to the website, go to lovelife.org, click on the map and see the cities we're in, click on locations, get involved, guys, get involved. When the church is silent, evil prevails. Mm. So let's stand up. Let's be loud for the truth that is known through Christ Jesus. Guys, we love you for listening, and we're out.
God bless.
See you.